Lawyers, Guns, and Money. This actually should be your theme song, Mike Monaco.
How are you, Ro?
I couldn't be better.
How are you, Anna?
Good, Mike. Nice to see you.
All
nice
right. You. Legal analyst Mike Monaco's here. Let's start with this story of a poor Illinois congressman who ran afoul of the law a number of years ago. And it was good because he ran afoul of both the state courts and the federal courts all simultaneously.
How do you do that?
It was easy. Congressman Mel Reynolds.
Yeah.
Who was, I got to meet the congressman early on in my career. He was a talk show host at WLS.
Really?
Yeah.
He had a talk show?
He had a talk show. And there was a moment where they would give any a-hole a talk show at WLS, and they did. And remember they gave Rob Blagojevich one?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
You know, there was that whole, there was this whole movement to just, if you were a disgraced political figure, you got a show. But this is before Mel became a congressman. He used it to launch his congressional career. And then, he had a little bit of an,
issue.
Yeah, a little bit of an issue with a 16-year-old girl.
Yeah, 16-year-old campaign intern that he was convicted. Criminal sexual abuse.
Yeah, with a great, there was one great audio clip on that.
Oh, yeah.
Did I die and go to heaven?
Did I win the lotto?
I won the lotto.
Yeah.
Is exactly
sick
what he said.
And twisted when you think about it.
Yeah.
He also had a bank fraud case in which at one point, I helped Maricel in that case.
Right, his wife.
Briefly, yeah.
Yeah. And so that's the excellent disclosure there, sir.
Yeah.
So now he's got another interesting situation. He's been traveling in Africa.
Yeah.
At the behest, and he's gone to a bunch of African presidents and potentates and dictators.
So they're paying for him to go there?
No, he goes to their countries, and he claims to represent American interests that would like to invest. And then he comes back here, and he says he represents these African, and these are primarily in Southeast Africa that have a lot of mining.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes there, and he seems, I don't know, Mike, I don't know. He seems fascinated by the concept of always skirting around the law. He's been staying there. He has not filed a number of years of tax returns.
Right. That's what he's charged with now, right? Four years.
A judge here in Chicago has charged him with that. And now he's in Atlanta, and he just got picked up by authorities down there because they're like, hey, there's a warrant for you up in Illinois. And these are federal charges.
Right. Right. Failure to file taxes is a misdemeanor for a particular year. 1 year is a misdemeanor.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Wesley Snipes was convicted of. Wesley Snipes was acquitted of the trying to defraud the IRS, but he was convicted of failure to file, which is now what
Harold Washington got that too.
Harold Washington was charged with that. Was convicted of that. Went to jail for that.
He did. He went to jail for a few months, right?
Yeah, right.
And my favorite part of that was that he said that he forgot.
Yeah, which is his birthday. Right?
April 15th was the day for the fire taxes, and it's his birthday.
Yeah.
Was his birthday? Yeah.
So he is facing, a year in jail for each of these counts. So that's 4 years in jail. So because he's got the prior conviction, I'm assuming he'll be facing some jail time. And actually, because they really bring so few tax cases, the IRS is normally insistent that people go to jail if they're being charged with a tax case.
Well, why is it that they're so? It seems like sometimes we hear of people, they go after you for taxes when they maybe can't get you for a larger charge. Is that something you've seen before yourself, and you suspect that may be a case here?
They obviously, if you don't file any tax returns, you're doing something to try to evade paying taxes, aren't you? So in theory, they could charge you with evasion, but they don't. They charge you with
failure to file,
which, as I say, is a misdemeanor. So he'll be facing 1 year in jail for each of these four counts.
All right. Now, and again, I think I shouldn't have used that term that I used earlier.
What was the term?
The one with the A.
That was quite strong.
I was surprised to hear you say that.
I think that
that was not me, by the way, who said that.
I think it's an insult.
It wasn't you either, Anna.
It was not me.
No. It is an insult to a very important body part.
That's not a good excuse. Good. Donald Trump.
Yeah, I think that's what I would like to say.
Sorry, an apology.
No, there's not an apology. That's not an apology. This guy has got nothing but trouble.
Well, he came into the country from Africa, landed in Atlanta, was greeted by federal authorities, Mel Reynolds, and they took his computer, they took his ID cards, they took his wallet, his money, his phones, and he is upset about that because he says they're treating him like a terrorist, and he was only trying to stay in the country to be with his sick daughter. She's 23 and has scoliosis.
You just wonder the real question I have is, what is he doing over there monkeying around with all of the potential issues that the United States is going to have on the African continent with insurgencies.
Right. He's not thinking of that. No.
And
he's thinking of making a few bucks.
He's over there screwing around with this.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it. And he's talking to people that, you know, he's representing himself as somebody of influence from here. Now, maybe he does. Maybe he does have the backing of business people in the United States. I cannot imagine a business person who has anything larger than a mini mart trusting him with anything. But maybe he does. I don't know. But he's dealing with people, some you know, rather rough customers who, you know, the United States, whether it's the CIA or just, you know, the strategists who look forward at things that are going to happen. The eastern side of Africa is a big, 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 the western is too, but the eastern side, you know, they're very afraid of what's going to come down the coast because the eastern side is on the Indian Ocean, which is right next to the Persian Gulf, which is where there's a lot of jihadism that could go. And you know, what would really help these organizations like Boko Haram or ISIS or whatever it happens to be is wealth, material wealth. And you have also some of the most important mining interests on the planet there.
Right? Now, I cannot believe he has any serious
there and doing something like that. I represent the United States of America. Yeah. You may bring me in on a human livery.
Yeah.
They might believe you. You can talk a good game. But remember, he was arrested for an immigration violation, possession of pornography, and that whole thing a couple of years ago in Zimbabwe. Immigration officers picked him up, and he had to face the charges for that.
And he begged back here for help, diplomatic help. Because it was like, hey, what am I doing?
So on multiple continents, he's causing problems. But yeah, so he failed to pay for the $24,000 hotel bill. That's the other thing I couldn't remember. That was another problem.
Right.
I don't think he has any money at all.
I think, and remember, he ran against Gus Savage, who really, when you look at it.
Could have been worse.
I mean, it was like, actually, if you want to think about it, Gus Savage or Mel Reynolds on the come, where no one knows what he's going to be. Is he going to be great? Is he not going to be great? I mean, it was an easy decision.
It was a flip.
Yeah.
It was a coin flip.
It was a fairly easy decision. But remember that Mel Reynolds claimed that he had gotten shot at the weekend before the election?
Oh, yeah. By alleging it was somebody from Gus's campaign, right?
Right. And he was driving through an alley, and they shot out his car window, and he had glass in his... And he kept the bandage on for... all the way through the election, and then on election night when he won, he took the bandage off, and there was nothing there.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Red badge. Red badge of courage. There it is.
He's
I remember he was a rising star at one point.
Was he a Rhodes Scholar?
Yes.
He was.
He claims to have been.
I'm not sure if he was a Rhodes Scholar.
Well,
because
he went
I know,
to Harvard. We know that.
Well,
he
I'm not
was
sure.
An Oxford.
Patrick Kennedy was the guy that kind of, he became friends at Harvard with some of the Kennedy kids. And Patrick, I believe, who was a congressman at the time, was, you know, touting him. He ended up becoming sort of I think Mayor Daley became enamored with him. His wife worked for Mayor Daley. And they helped him.
He had a twin brother, I think, didn't he? I think he went
God,
to,
I hope
did
not.
He go, did he go to Mather or a place, he went with some school in Chicago, high school in Chicago, and friends of mine who went with him say it was always something questionable. Nothing was ever straight.
Right. There are people like that. They often become Mike's clients.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't mind them.
You like to keep that company.
As long as they have a few bucks.
Mike Monaco is here. We're talking about crime and punishment of politicians here in Chicago. All right. I can't let you go without talking a little bit about this Denny Hastert situation. Now, I find this interesting because you see these kinds of things happening sometimes where lawyers at the very end of negotiations between lawyers and prosecutors in high-profile cases where the lawyer said they were looking for no jail time because their client has been very, very ill and they were very concerned about whether he would survive prison. And then next thing you know, a raft of documents come out from the prosecutor's side that indicate that explain exactly what the charge is. Now, is that like sort of standard operating procedure to release that?
Well, no, this is a very unusual case. The it appears that the government, I'm not sure about this, but it appears that they agreed to this deal before they knew how many children Mr. Hastert had been involved in abusing. Because and now that there are at least five that we know of,
because there's victim impact statements.
And the judge has indicated that he's going to let any of these victims testify or people testify on their behalf, because he said it's, which is true, that it's part of the character relating to Hastert's career, Hastert's background.
Because you have a mother. Wasn't one of the kids? Didn't one of the kids commit suicide or something?
One of them died of AIDS.
His sister may testify. She may fly in to testify. Mm-hmm. So the question is this: the government cut a deal with Congressman Hastert that they're going to recommend 0 to 6 months in jail, which is the sentencing guidelines on structuring. This amount of structuring, which
he has not been charged.
He has not been charged with anything relating to the sex abuse. So he's facing 0 to 6 months on the guideline range, which is not the maximum that the judge could sentence him to. The maximum is 5 years. So this is a big question. Will the judge go along with the government's sentencing recommendation, which it appears they are trying while abiding by their agreement with Hastert? They're abiding by the agreement by saying that they're recommending a sentence within the guideline range, 0 to 6 months. But they put all of this stuff in this sentencing presentation to the judge, which indicates the judge should go beyond the 6 months.
Right.
I know we're so close on time, but what are the chances that these people who have now come forward to say they were abused by him, do they have a legal case, some kind of criminal case that they could bring?
No, I think it's all gone by the statute of limitations. I think that's what the paper reports. I'm assuming that's true because it's 30, 40 years ago, right?
It is. It's a long time.
I mean,
ago.
It's when he was teaching in high school before he entered.
Right. Assume, at least in terms of the cases that
we know of,
proffered in this, right?
Right, right. So the five that they make mention to are five students.
Well, one of the alleged victims said they came forward because the attorney for Hastert contacted him to say, hey, will you show up and say something good about him? And he said, whoa.
Oh, really?
I'm not going to say anything good about him. Now you've just gotten me to move forward.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
And show up to say the opposite.
So that'll be the case. What will the judge do?
Mike Monaco, thank you very much.
My
appreciate
pleasure.
It.